become one in marriage, but what does that mean exactly when it comes to investing? I'm Rob West. Should both spouses be included in investment decisions? Rachel McDonough certainly thinks so, and today she'll tell us about the benefits of both husband and wife engaging in that process. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, Rachel McDonough is our guest today. She's a certified financial planner and certified kingdom advisor. Rachel is also an expert in helping folks align their investments with a Christian worldview. And Rachel, it's great to have you back with us.
Thank you, Rob. Glad to be here.
Rachel, we've got to lay some groundwork, perhaps, before we start talking about married couples investing. So maybe you could start with the differences between how men and women tend to think or approach life.
Yeah, let's just start with some broad generalities about men and women, and then keeping in mind that these are not going to fit for every couple. But sure. I bet at least a few of them will resonate. So as you think through this list, think of which descriptions apply to you and your spouse. First of all, builders versus beautifiers. Men tend to focus more on function, and women tend to focus more on form. Next, risk takers versus nest builders.
Yeah.
We find often when we do a risk tolerance score, a man's risk tolerance tends to be higher than his wife's. How about task-focused versus relationship-focused, big picture versus detail-oriented, factual versus intuitive, and often men are more compartmentalized, whereas women are more centralized, seeing everything as interconnected. And then this is my favorite. Men tend to be the head of the home, whereas women are the heart of the home. So regardless of whether your unique marriage fits with these generalities about men and women, I also just want to remind us of the old adage that opposites attract. In many couples, there will be one person who's more of the thinker and one who's more of a feeler. And of course, both are equally important.
Yeah, that's so true, Rachel, and so helpful. You know Ron Blue well, of course, one of my mentors, and Ron would often tell the story of a well-known pastor that was a client of his, who was also a Bible teacher, has written many books, and he would have dinner once a year with this pastor and his wife, and they would go over the finances, and she'd want to go over every line of the financial plan, and at some point during the dinner, and Ron said this would happen every year, he would get up to excuse himself to go to the restroom, Ron would go with him, and on the way he would say, "So how are we doing?" And Ron would say, "You're doing fine." And he'd say, "Great." And that was all he wanted to know. And I think it highlights exactly what you're talking about. Now, Rachel, how do these differences, though, show up in financial decisions? Obviously, I gave one example there, but how have you seen it show up?
Yeah, I've seen a few patterns. So one of the common ones is that the husband may focus more on big picture retirement planning, big dollar amount decisions like big investments, and the wife may be the one who actually pays the bills, right? The husband might lead the process when it comes to acquiring a big ticket item like buying a home or buying a car, whereas the wife may cumulatively be spending more money over the course of their lifetimes by just shopping for household items or groceries. And then the one that we talked about already once, I just think it's worth mentioning again. Men tend to have a higher risk tolerance than women do.
Yeah.
And yet, if they will come together and meet in the middle, they often find that the compromise is really the best fit for the family.
Well, I think that's exactly right, Rachel. So what are some of the reasons that you've found that couples operate this way, where only one of them is overseeing the investments?
Well, the big one, I think, is busyness. And there's sort of a need in marriage to implement a specialization of labor, right? The need to just divide and conquer in order to get through the to-do list for the family. But there's also a really positive reason that sometimes this occurs, and that is that there's something in the heart of a man, I think, in particular, that wants to provide for his family and feels blessed when his wife will just trust him with the investment decisions and feel confident that he's able to do that.
I think you're exactly right. Well, we're going to continue to unpack this man and woman, husband and wife managing investments. What are the benefits of doing that together? We're joined today by Rachel McDonough, certified financial planner and certified kingdom advisor with Wealth Squared. You'll find them online at wealthsq.com. Back with much more just around the corner. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. We live in frightening times, in scary places, around scary people. At least that's how it feels, doesn't it? We don't know when the next war is going to break out, or if tragedy is going to strike our home or our neighborhood. It can be easy to succumb to fear. The Lord's words to Joshua are just as needed for us today. Be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. I am with you. Joshua had every reason to fear. Little Israel was trying to settle in a land with big, bad armies. But the Lord was near, and His nearness brings us freedom from fear. Perfect love, like Christ's for us, casts out fear. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchored.com.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live, 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from LitePoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LitePoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance Program. More information is available at LitePointPortfolios.com.
Hope for Zambia, empowered by Family Legacy, is a ministry providing hope to vulnerable and orphan children in Zambia by investing into their spiritual, intellectual, physical, and emotional growth and well-being. Whether distributing 5 million meals each year to students or empowering them to graduate from high school and go on to pursue post-secondary education, we believe that when you educate a child, you change their world. Go to hopeforzambia.com/faith to transform a life.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. I'm joined today by Rachel McDonough, Certified Kingdom Advisor. Her firm is called Wealth Squared, and we're talking about investing together as a married couple. And just before the break, Rachel, you were talking to us about how men being the head of the home and the woman being the heart of the home, we might think of that as thinker and feeler. So how does that apply specifically to investing?
The thinking spouse may tend to ask, as you might guess, more technical questions about a potential investment to discover the financial pros and cons, focusing on factual understanding of all the options. So, for example, the thinker may ask, how much return could I expect, or how much risk would I be taking? How long might my capital be locked up for, or what are the fees? On the other hand, the feeling spouse, the heart of the home, may be more concerned about ensuring that the investment is going to be safe or available for the needs of the family. Let's say there are tuition payments coming up for a kid who's heading off to college. The feeler might be more concerned about the relational component. Also, studies have shown that women are actually really interested in socially responsible investing and thinking about how the investment aligns with the family's values. Are the portfolio companies acting ethically? Are they engaged in exploitation through child labor or something that's happening in their factories abroad? The studies, the research shows that this is actually very important to women, although I have seen it important to both men and women.
Yeah, well, those are really important differences, and I think really highlight the opportunity here by doing this together to make a better investment decision with their advisor. Let's talk about some of the potential dangers of having just one spouse make the investment and long-term planning decisions.
Yeah, Rob, I think the most obvious danger is that women tend to live 5 to 6 years longer than men on average. And so I have walked several recently widowed women through the steep learning curve on investing and making real estate transactions, thinking about retirement planning and other financial concepts that are complicated, all at a time when they really just need space to grieve.
Yeah.
So I actually have a word of encouragement for both types of spouses, the thinker and the feeler, in addition to just the likelihood of longevity. Let's remember that if you're the feeler and you see your spouse as more financially savvy or more analytical, and that's caused you to be supportive or more passive in this area, let's just back up for 1 minute and recognize that you may be putting a massive responsibility on his shoulders if you're intentionally or unintentionally disengaging from that long-term planning and investment decision-making process. So you would not expect your spouse to unilaterally plot out your career path or dictate how you're going to spend your time. But if we're abdicating responsibility and not engaging in the process, we really are putting a burden on our spouses. And it's likely that at some point, we're not going to be happy with the outcome that our spouse's decisions achieve, which can cause friction in the marriage. On the other hand, if you are the thinker, the more financially savvy of the couple, perhaps, who may be leading the investment decisions, there's a different sort of danger for you. I was reminded recently of a story from Larry Burkett, where the husband was about to invest a large sum of money with a well-respected businessman. Now, he had crunched all the numbers, done all of his analysis, reviewed all of the facts, and the investment appeared very sound. But when he introduced his wife to this man, she was not impressed. She thought, this guy kind of gives me the creeps. There's just something off about him. And he did push through and made the investment decision anyway, despite her concerns. And it ended up that they did lose a lot of money. So you never want to be in a position where, you know, you've kind of pushed forward in that decision-making process without pausing to listen.
Yeah.
Sometimes the voice of the Lord will come through our spouse, and there's a protection for us in just slowing down and listening.
Yeah, that discernment factor is huge. We don't want to miss that opportunity. Rachel, do both spouses need to be involved in all financial tasks for the family, or are there only some that are really critical?
I would say, Rob, when it comes to smaller decisions, like should we renew the $5,000 CD for another 6 months?
Yeah.
Or, you know, paying off monthly bills, that kind of thing. It's really obviously not important for both to be involved. However, whenever significant dollars are at stake, whenever there's a long-term outcome that's trying to be achieved, we want both spouses to have their values, their priorities, their perspectives, and their goals represented in that plan and in the investment decision.
Yeah, that's really helpful. All right, Rachel, sum this up for us. What is the potential benefit of making both investment and major financial decisions together?
Well, Genesis 1:28 reminds us that in the image of God, he created them, both male and female, he created them. So there are different attributes of God that are represented in the masculine and in the feminine. And we know that we have a better perspective when we come together. Also, Genesis 2:18, the Lord said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper that is suitable for him. And I think sometimes, ladies, we tend to let the man take control and let him make decisions, but we don't want to leave him out there by himself. We don't want to hang him out to dry. And he needs the support of his helpmate. Ecclesiastes 4:9 tells us that two are better than one. And wow, is that true? If both spouses are engaged, they have the power of helping one another to discern the right course of action. They agreed when they got married, for richer or for poorer. But I find that it's better when significant investment decisions that really can result in the richer or poorer are made prayerfully and in unity. I often tell clients I'd rather that they make the right decision the right way, going through each step of their own decision-making process, than to make a rushed decision.
That's really helpful. Rachel, we have just a minute or so left. For that spouse that's hearing this today and says, yes, that's what I desire, but her spouse, let's say, has been managing everything and she wants to be a part of it, how would you encourage her to approach that conversation?
Well, I think delicately, you know, first of all, I think, you know, men, especially those who've been seeing this as a way that they serve their wives and their families, yeah, you don't want to come with an approach that's very confrontational, but a gentle approach that says, you know, statistically, women are likely to live longer than men. What do you think I need to know about the way that we're investing in order to just kind of get myself up to speed? And if I've put too much responsibility on your shoulders in this area, I want you to help me get educated and involved and get engaged with our investment choices.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Well, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there for today. Rachel, so grateful to have you stop by. By the way, folks, if you're a woman in the Denver or Colorado Springs area and you'd like to meet Rachel and hear more on this topic, you may want to grab a pen. The National Christian Foundation will be hosting two women's events, October 4th and 5th, with Rachel as the speaker. She'll be diving deeper on the topic of men, women, and investing for impact. And you can request information at Rocky Mountains at NCF. giving.com. Rachel, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Rachel McDonough, certified financial planner and certified kingdom advisor. You can find out more at wealthsq.com. That's wealthsq.com. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
You know, Alex, one of my favorite things about Share-a-thon are the listeners' phone calls.
Yeah, exactly.
AFR listener stories encourage us and other listeners.
AFR has been a blessing to my husband and I.
Call 877-876-8893 and tell us your story. That's 877-876-8893.
I listen to y'all all day. Y'all been a big help.
877-876-8893.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
This fall, believers from across America will gather in our nation's capital. We'll hear from government leaders, policy experts, and leading Christian voices, learning how we can engage in government at every level, from local school boards to state legislatures to Congress and even the White House, to win back the soul of our nation. Join with us for the Pray, Vote, Stand Summit, Believe and Engage, September 15th through 17th. Register now at PrayVoteStand.org.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how.
Bernie and Alice Larson are faithful supporters of the American Family Association.
We felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers as to what we could do after we're gone.
You can learn more about charitable annuities and other financial products at AFAFoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
I'm so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, our lines are open for your questions today on anything financial. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. We'll be headed to the phones here in just a moment. Let me also mention in the news today, mortgage rates inched back up this week. The average 30-year fixed rate mortgage rose from 7.12% to 7.18%. Off of its high, though, we had been at 7.5. Now, that's not much of an increase. It's the trend, though, that's important, and we are moving higher. This comes as the Federal Reserve considers raising interest rates once more in light of heightened inflation. The CPI rose 0.06% in August. The Fed, of course, meets again next week, so much more to come on that. If you are looking to buy a home, this, you know, certainly can be a time to do that if you're saved up and you understand what that mortgage payment will be. It fits well within your budget. We use a guideline of 25% or less of your take-home pay as an ideal target for principal, interest, taxes, and insurance. If you need a partner who shares your values in that to secure a mortgage, check out our friends at Movement Mortgage. Movement.com/faith is where you can learn more. All right, we're going to dive in today. Also, let me let you know, coming up in the final segment of the broadcast, I'm excited about this segment. Jerry Boyer will, of course, be here. He joins us each Friday with his market analysis and news on corporate engagement. But today we'll be joined by Jerry and Walker Wildman of American Family Association. You know him well. And Walker's going to be sharing some exciting news about some work that AFA and Jerry Boyer are doing together to file a shareholder resolution with a major company you will know all about. We'll tell you about it a little later in the broadcast as Walker and Jerry stop by today. All right, let's take your questions today. We're going to begin in Oregon. Lynn, you'll be our first caller. Go right ahead.
Good morning. I am going to be needing some euros when I travel to France the end of this month.
Yeah.
Where is the best place to get those?
Yeah, it's a great question. You do want to think about that in advance, Lynn. And so, you know, keep in mind the best place to go is your bank. So you're going to get the best exchange rate at your local bank. Now, a couple of things you'll want to do, though. You will want to call them or reach out to them online before you show up at a branch just to make sure they have, in your case, the euros. But they are going to provide you the best exchange rate, hopefully not with any added fees, although if you don't convert at least a certain amount, there may be a small fee. But they may have to have the currency delivered to the branch or to you, and so that's why you're going to want to reach out ahead of time. But your local bank is always going to be the best place to go. Now, in addition to that, you will want to, while you're there in France, you will try to want to only use ATMs from your bank or your bank's network. If you can find them, that's going to avoid high fees there. And then you'll also want to check with your credit card company just to see if they have any foreign transaction fees, because that can be another great way to transact business and purchase things while you're there, because then you don't even have to have any extra cash. And especially if your credit card doesn't have any of those added travel fees, that would provide a safer option than cash, because they offer the fraud protection, the safety features. You can freeze it if it's misplaced, and you know, it just gives you the convenience. But of course, you'll want to have some physical currency as well, and I think that's where, you know, going to your local bank by calling ahead, doing the exchange there, and then while you're talking to them about that, see if they'll purchase back for you or convert back anything you have left over when you return. But that's going to be your best approach. Does that all make sense?
Yeah, it sure does. Thank you so much.
All right, Lynn. Hey, enjoy yourself. What are you doing over there? Just seeing the sights?
Just going for a church event and then spending some days in Paris at the end.
Oh, that sounds phenomenal. Well, great. Well, I appreciate you calling and checking with us. You be safe and enjoy yourself over there. Thanks for being on the program today. Let's head to Georgia. Joanne, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yes. A couple of months ago, or almost a couple of months ago, you had told a woman that if she was in her 50s, she should do a traditional IRA. And if she was younger, that she should do a Roth IRA. Or it was a 401k or something. So why, because of the age difference, why would you do a traditional? Just like I'm in my 50s. Why would I do a traditional instead of a Roth?
Yeah, it's not an automatic decision. You know, I think the big question when you're considering Roth versus traditional is whether or not you anticipate your retirement income will be greater or less than your current income. So, you know, generally our income drops in retirement and therefore we're paying less. And therefore the current deduction of the traditional IRA at the peak of your earning years, while potentially you're paying more in taxes, is more beneficial to get that deduction now as it's going into the traditional versus paying the tax, putting in after-tax dollars, and then pulling it out tax-free in retirement when your income is less and therefore your tax burden is less. The other factor when considering Roth versus traditional that favors the traditional in your 50s is that the Roth is most powerful the longer you have until retirement because you have a longer time to take advantage of that tax-free growth, whereas when you're in your 50s, you're starting to get a little bit more conservative in your investment strategy. You just don't have the opportunity to maximize the benefit quite as much of that tax-free growth in the Roth, a little later versus doing it in your 30s or 40s. Now, one of the wild cards here is what is happening to tax rates? Where are taxes going in terms of the marginal tax rates? What we do know is that we're probably on the low end right now with Trump Tax Cuts and Jobs Act due to expire in 2025. We obviously have uncertainty about who the next administration will be and what will be their view on taxes, but we can probably assume that if taxes are going anywhere, they're going higher. So that would be the only thing that would favor the Roth. But I think in your 50s, when you don't have quite as much time on your side and you can probably benefit more from that current deduction versus, getting it out tax-free later, you know, I think that would favor the traditional IRA. I hope that helps you clear some things up, Joanne. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate it. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stick around.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word, and we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have 3 money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
We believe true morality flows from biblical principles and directs people to the manner in which God intends them to live.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us as we seek to stop the erosion of godly values.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Coming up in our next segment, Jerry Boyer stops by. He'll be joined by Walker Wildman of the American Family Association. Jerry and Walker will update us on some recent proposals that Jerry and AFA have put together and submitted for an upcoming shareholder meeting, doing some corporate engagement work together. And it's going to be with a big, well-known company you will be very familiar with. That update coming in our next segment. We'll look forward to that. In the meantime, we're taking your calls and questions on anything financial. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now, whether it's your credit score, your debt repayment, maybe your long-term savings and investments, or how to stay on budget. We'll tackle any and all of it here on the program today. Back to the phones, we go to Kansas. Carol, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Thank you so much for taking my call. My husband and I have been talking about our final days and are wondering if that contributions that are made through our will after our passing will have any effect on our final income tax filing.
Yeah, well, any assets that you gift to charity will be excluded from your taxable estate as long as the recipient's a 501c3 organization. Now, keep in mind, there is, you know, no estate tax until you get, at least based on the current IRS rules and regs, until you get up above a $12 million estate. So unless, you know, you're above $12 million in terms of the total estate, there's not going to be any estate taxes that will be paid. So the opportunity you have is just to take a step back and say, you know, if our last stewardship decision that we'll make is to decide, you know, whether we want to give this to charity or to heirs or to both, how much do we want to give to each of those? And the question that you want to ask yourself is the next steward chosen and prepared? You know, if you're leaving it to an heir, are they ready to receive that? And what is that lump sum going to do just based on what you know about where they're at in their lives, their spiritual and financial maturity and otherwise? And then obviously any giving you want to do to your church or ministry or charity, that's great. What an incredible opportunity to take what God has entrusted to you and pass it on to those doing some incredible work, hopefully in the name of Jesus. So, but to answer your question, it's excluded from your estate. But even if it wasn't, there are no estate taxes until you get above $12
million. Okay, so I'm not sure I understand. The ones that are charitable donations, would they be shown on our final income tax filing as a charitable donation, even though we're gone?
Yeah, so the final tax return that would be done for you all personally would show any giving that was done in that year. Anything that remains and is not given away prior to your death would be a part of your estate. and then your estate is distributed according to your will, and the will would say where those where the estate's property and assets go, and you know, anything that is given away is at that point is excluded from the estate. So it's not a part of the estate. But even if it was, there are no estate taxes until you get above a $12 million estate. Does that make sense?
I think so.
Okay. Yeah. So the final tax return is done based on everything that has happened prior to death. And then the estate kicks in at that point. And again, there are no taxes for what is distributed out of your estate unless you get above $12 million. But, you know, any charitable gifts are excluded from it anyway. So I think you all are free then just to say, okay, how do we want to distribute this at death? And let's not even think about the tax implications because there really are none. So do we want it to, who's the next steward and are they prepared to receive it is really the only question that you need to answer. Here's what I'd like to do, Carol. I want to send you a copy of a book called Splitting Heirs. It's by our good friend Ron Blue. I think it's the best book on making those final decisions, not the tools and strategies, but the questions you need to ask and really thinking biblically about wealth transfer. It's a great resource. I think it might be a real blessing to you and your husband. So if you'll stay on the line, we'll get your information and get Splitting Heirs out to you as our gift to you. Okay.
So much.
All right. God bless you, Carol. Thanks for your call today. We appreciate it. We've got room for maybe one more question this segment, possibly two. 800-525-7000 is a number to call. Let's head to Texas. Hi, Carl. You're a first-time caller. Thanks for being on the program today, sir. Go ahead.
Sir. Yes, sir. Good morning. My quick question was, I was both retired and medically retired from the military about 10 years ago. I had was drawing disability from Social Security, and they came out with a program, Ticket to Work, which allowed me to get training and get back into work. I'm just curious how that's going to affect me, because since I did draw 10 years of disability, but now working, and I'm not sure how long I'm going to be able to work because of the physical strains that I still go through and the medications I'm still on, but hopefully I can work till 65, 69. We'll see how it goes. How that's going to affect me when I, if Social Security's still around when I retire again, how that's going to affect me.
Yeah. It won't affect your retirement benefits at all. So when you get to that point, you will be able to apply for Social Security benefits just like anyone else, and your benefit will be based on your high 35, your highest 35 years of earnings and where you paid FICA taxes. And, you know, you will be able to wait and get your full benefit at full retirement age. If you take it early, it will be reduced. If you wait beyond full retirement age, you can see it grow by 8% a year. But it really, the fact that you are on disability doesn't affect that benefit whatsoever. So you'll be able to decide when to claim your full benefits at the appropriate time.
Okay. And again, I had stopped the disability when I returned to work because I was working.
But, yeah.
I'm 63 now, going on 64, and I'm trying to figure out, how long I can. Yeah, I was just going nuts staying at home. I mean, I was volunteering all over the place.
Sure.
But, I could only work as I could work. And, I decided to go ahead and seek training and back into it. I'm not working like I was in the military, that's for sure. But
yes, sir. Well, Carl, I certainly understand that. I'm delighted to hear that you're back to work, that you're physically able to do so, that you got that additional training. And I can completely resonate with the idea that you felt like you were missing something, because we kind of have work hardwired into our DNA. God created us to be workers before the fall. So that's a part of who we are. God is a worker himself, and we were created in his image. So we work as unto the Lord, Lord, and we get the benefit and the blessing of knowing that we're being productive and taking God's creation and ordering it and improving it, and that's a part of His design. And that whole idea of productivity is a part of God's ideal economy as well, with economic expansion and then the opportunity to be generous as well. Hey, God bless you, my friend, and thanks for your service to our country. We're grateful. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
I love the cooperation between the gifts that these men have. Ezra was a scribe. He knew the law. He knew what to say. Nehemiah was a leader, and God did a great work.
Nehemiah had a vision. He prayed about it. He exerted leadership and motivated people. And then when the going got tough, he kept on going.
Bert Harper and Alex McFarland, Advancing Through the Scriptures, weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio's Exploring the Word.
Are you building for a future marriage in your dating life? Next time on Focus on the Family, we'll review common mistakes that single adults often make in dating, and we'll encourage Christians to become fruit inspectors, where you look for the fruit of the Spirit in prospective dating partners. That's next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
What's most important to you when it comes to choosing your financial advisor? Someone who's aligned with your biblical values? How about someone who will take the time to explain your options? Certified Kingdom Advisors are professionals who meet high standards in competence and integrity and have been trained to offer biblical financial advice. To find a Certified Kingdom Advisor in your area, visit faithfi.com and click Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. This is where we apply the wisdom from God's Word to your financial decisions and choices. I'm Rob West. In this segment of the broadcast, I'm delighted to have Jerry Boyer. He joins us each Friday with his market analysis and commentary. But a special edition of this today, we're also joined by Walker Wildman, Vice President of the American Family Association. You know him well. We're going to be talking about corporate engagement, specifically a shareholder proposal that AFA is in the process of submitting, working alongside Jerry Boyer. Jerry, Walker, great to have you both with us.
Hey, Rob. Always a pleasure.
Hey, Walker, let's start with you. Give us just a quick thumbnail sketch of the opportunity here and what AFA is working on.
Yeah, so over at the American Family Association, we have, of course, many investments, especially with our AFA foundation. So we're putting the Lord's money that He's blessed us with to work so that we don't lose it to inflation and devaluation over time. Yeah. So with that being said, we have various holdings. We're trying to grow our money as the Lord commands us to do and grow our resources. So one of those holdings, we hold various different corporate stocks. And so we're wanting to not just be in the market and be at play in the market to grow our money and to grow our reach, but we're also wanting to be activist shareholders, so be shareholders that utilize our vote, that have a say, you know, at these shareholder meetings. So that's what we're kicking off here. We've got Jerry doing the work for us with the Boyer Group, and we're excited about it.
I know you are, and this just fits so well with AFA's mission to transform culture. And Jerry, give us an update on this first shareholder proposal that you've been working on.
Yeah, happy to. Before that, I want to say that it's perfect that AFA is taking the lead on this, because AFA has been taking the lead for decades on confronting what's been going on in corporations. Going back a long time, this is a really hot topic now. I'm at a conference on this topic. A lot of conservatives and Christians are wanting to get that. That's why you can hear all this ambient noise in the background. A lot of Christians are kind of wanting in on this. But I don't know if there's anybody who was confronting these companies and, you know, talking about boycotts, whatever, earlier than AFA. So in this particular case, the holding is Apple. We all know the Apple Corporation. Apple is a pretty, well, it's a pretty bad apple. It's a pretty bad actor in many ways when it comes to how it treats Christians and religious liberty, how it treats conservatives. It discriminates against religious charities, for example, in its matching program. And under pressure from the Chinese government, it's taken down religious apps, including Olive Tree, a Bible app. They also took down Majid Quran, which is a Quran app. So the proposal is essentially holding the company to account. So it's already gone into Apple. They dragged their feet a bit on acknowledging it. So I wrote to general counsel saying, did you get this or not? Because the deadline's coming up. They acknowledge that they got it. And so they can try to challenge it. Maybe they'll succeed. Maybe they won't. But if we succeed, it goes on the ballot and it goes before the entire board, before all of the shareholders who get to vote on this. And AFA gets to make its case unfiltered, unedited, directly to the shareholders and the board for why Apple needs to explain why it is deplatforming religious content.
Mm. Yeah, that's powerful. And Walker, there's an incredible opportunity here because in some cases, you know, AFA is avoiding certain companies that are misaligned with its values. In other cases, you're holding companies and then leveraging this opportunity to express the values of believers to affect change. And that's just a part of what's core to the mission of AFA, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we've historically only done one boycott at a time. And the current one is with the Target Corporation. That's been going on since 2016. But with one boycott at a time, that leaves hundreds, if not thousands, of other corporations that we can weigh in with and put forth these shareholder proposals and be at the table. So that's what we're wanting to do. We're not just wanting to sit on the sidelines and Monday morning quarterback it, but we're trying to affect change here. And with this Apple proposal, we want to know what their viewpoint discrimination practices are, because these are Apple and Google and some of these other major phone providers and software providers with these app stores. They're major players, and if Apple decides that they don't want an app in their app store, that significantly reduces the market exposure for these organizations, including AFA, American Family Radio, and some of these other apps. So we've got to do our best to make sure that Apple is not discriminating against Christian groups and other groups and viewpoints, so that we can have the same level of exposure in the App Store and on the other Apple platforms as everyone else.
Yeah, and this proposal obviously is going right after that. Jerry, Christians, by and large, you know, Walker talked about being present at that boardroom table. Christians, by and large, have been absent from that conversation in the past. Isn't that right?
Yes, shockingly so. So I hear a lot of Christians bemoaning what happened to corporate America. But, you know, why did that happen? Well, I happen to believe in the doctrine of original sin, which means everything rots unless we put salt on it. Unless we bring salt and light, every institution is just going to automatically go in the wrong direction. So we've been behind on that. Like I said, AFA was early in, but in general, Christians have been behind. But I can tell you we're catching up fast. We're catching up very quickly, and the tide is turning. It's really surprising to see how quickly it's turning. They just attended the Nike board meeting this week, and this company very left progressive. They weren't talking that way. So we're making a difference, and I hope that people who are listening, when we know when the annual meeting is, of course we'll let everyone know. But anyone listening, maybe you can't put a proposal forward like AFA did, but you can log on to the meeting and you can ask a question. So what if 50 or 100 or 200 listeners right now who own Apple stock logged on to the annual meeting and spoke in behalf of this proposal? That would completely shift the debate in a way that would really move the needle.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And Walker, the idea here is to be really thoughtful and winsome about how we go about affecting change. There's so many different options. We can show up and vote both locally and nationally. We can get involved in politics. As you mentioned, in some cases, boycotting is the right strategy. But this is another leg of that stool, so to speak, that perhaps we as believers have been missing, huh?
Yeah, that's right. And a lot of people don't know. I mean, you and Jerry are in this, and you've been in this for a while. But a lot of people don't know where they're, you know, like, for example, where your retirement is. You know, is your company in any of these funds? And I know the voting is different for a fund, but is your retirement in these companies directly, you know, through some kind of retirement program or just your private investment account? So I think a lot of consumers don't realize that they're actually invested in a lot of these corporations in one way or another. And in some way they have a say. So we've got to get Christians back to the table. We've got to affect change here, and we can't just sit around and complain about things. We've got to be doers of the word, as God's word says. So that's what we're doing here, and we're encouraging activism at the corporate level, as we have been doing for a long time.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Walker, we're going to let you get back to, I know you're traveling right now, so I really appreciate you taking a few minutes to weigh in today and tell us about this exciting work. We'll, of course, have a lot of updates along the way as we see what happens with this proposal, and this is probably the first of many to come. So, Walker, thanks for joining us.
All right. Thanks, Rob.
All right. God bless you, my friend. Jerry, before we round out the broadcast today, I want to give you an opportunity just to comment on what you're seeing there on the ground and anything related to the markets and the economy this week.
Well, I think we're still in this zone where it's becoming pretty obvious that any victory laps about inflation were premature. Inflation isn't beaten, which means that there's pressure on the Fed to keep hiking rates, which means keep pulling money out of the markets to try to slow down the economy. There was just an article in the Wall Street Journal recently that said, hey, unemployment's going up. But that's good, because that's the plan. That's the plan. That's the Fed plan, is to cause unemployment to go up so that we lose bargaining power as workers, because somehow they think pay raises cause inflation. Pay raises don't cause inflation. Pay raises come from people being productive. What causes inflation isn't too many people working or us making too much money. Problem isn't us making too much money. It's the government making too much money.
Yes.
We get money by creating wealth. They make money by simply making money, literally printing it. And that's where inflation comes from. And the government's blaming us for what they did. And that's what's weighing on markets, the sense that, okay, the Fed believes they have to slow the economy down to fight inflation. So they're going to slow the economy down.
Yes. Well, I watched the interview last night, Jerry, with what could be the next president of Argentina, and Tucker was making the case that perhaps we're headed in this same direction. They've obviously got a real problem with the incredible devaluation of their currency. Are we on a similar trajectory here, in your view?
Well, if we're on a similar trajectory, we're much earlier in the trajectory than Argentina. Yeah. But, I mean, South America has never really understood the biblical idea of finance and economics. South America was Christianized, but it never really embraced the idea of individual liberty and shrinking government and free markets. So it doesn't have that much of a heritage. So Argentina has a tremendous history of devaluing the peso. Here in America, we're more influenced by a strand of Christianity that emphasized soundness of currency as a moral obligation. You know, some of the European reformers, when they wrote commentaries on the Ten Commandments or they wrote catechisms, they specifically said that inflation violates the Ten Commandments rule against theft. So that got hardwired into our DNA. It's even in our Constitution. Look, we could end up that way, but we have much stronger heritage on soundness of currency and rule of law than Argentina does. So I feel like we're in a better position. But if we keep moving in the wrong direction, I mean, Argentina was once a major economy, and they're not anymore. So, yes, that could happen to us, too.
Well said, though. I think you're right. When we look at our roots and what's hardwired into our DNA, but that doesn't mean we don't need to pray and show up and vote and continue to advocate through shareholder engagement. Jerry, appreciate you stopping by today, my friend. God bless you.
God bless you.
All right. That's Jerry Boyer. This has been Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Thanks to Devin, Jim, and Robert. Couldn't do it without them. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.